teenagers and their parents and the children in here especially would listen tonight. I don't claim to be an expert. I still got a lot to learn. But God gave me this thought about August. And it's just been something that's milling over in my head. And so I would really, really beg you tonight. As much as possible, listen. I think there's a truth here out of God's word that the Lord wants me to get across. So, if you would turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll read a familiar story tonight. The whole story starts in verse 11, goes down to verse 32, and I'll skip around for time's sake tonight. I want to highlight some verses, if we would. We'll start there in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. We'll skip down here if we can to verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father's house, say unto them, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let's skip down to verse 23. Verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field. You think about that phrase right there. He was steady working, doing what his father told him to do. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might take merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come and devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, this is where I'm going to draw my text tonight. And he said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Tonight, I want you to know, if you don't already know, that I love your teens. And I love your children, and I love you guys. And because of that love for them, I have to teach what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. I'm very concerned about the spiritual future of our young people. And I'm not just talking necessarily about our church. I'm talking about this generation. I'm very, very deeply concerned about their spiritual future. The thing that we need to realize tonight is that the spiritual future of their life will in fact affect every part of their future. Have you considered that tonight? Have you considered that the spiritual decisions they make as young people will affect the overall decisions of their life? And I beg you again tonight, parents, please give me your ears. Teens, please listen. As I bare my heart to you tonight, children, please listen. And please give me a chance to say what I believe the Lord would have me say tonight. And if what I'm saying is not true or biblical in any fashion or form, I'll be happy to recant and apologize for this message. If you know me, I'm not that kind of person. So for me to say that, I want you to understand the gravity, the seriousness tonight of what I want to get across. We have heard this story many times, but tonight I want to show you something that God gave me a while back regarding the elder brother. We know that he had a wrong spirit and a bad attitude, if you will, but why did he have this wrong spirit or bad attitude? Why wasn't he happy like everybody else that his younger brother had made it home? How come he was not more like the father who was joyous and glad to see his home safe and sound? I believe the answer tonight will help us understand why it's so important to raise the next generation right and godly. I believe that the problem the elder son had was not his attitude. I don't believe even his anger, although those are definitely problems. But I believe tonight the problem he truly had is he did not have a healthy realization of what he really had. You see, all he noticed that there was no dinner in his honor. There was no fatted calf for him. No new robe on his back. No ring on his finger. No new shoes on his feet. But what he failed to realize is that is all that prodigal son would ever get. The prodigal son had wasted his substance in riotous living. He had ruined his inheritance. Sure, he was forgiven, but he had no more inheritance of his own. The eldest son, really, he had it all. Everything the father had at this point belonged to the son in the future. You with me so far? This eldest son, no matter what the father acquired from this point on, if his father were to triple or quadruple his amount of wealth from this point on, it was all belonging to that eldest son. That younger son had forfeited his right out of the inheritance. I see the same problem in our next generation. They see people who have strayed from God who come back with welcome and open arms, as we should. These people have experienced all the so-called fun of the world, but come back to church and experience all the welcoming and the praising God for their return. Don't get me wrong, I'm one of those. They may see someone like myself or hear the testimonies of people that live this life of sin and come back. But what they don't see is all they lost while they were gone. They don't see the heartache that was caused to the family and the people that loved them. They don't see the innocence of youth that is lost. Just bear with me tonight. They don't see all the reaping of what all those people have sown that will take effect. They don't see the time that was wasted through those years that they could have used for God. They don't see the rap sheets of criminal history that have to be overcome by trying to get a job and hope that they don't prosecute you from getting a job or throw you out of getting a job because you have a record. They don't see the lack of trust that's really never fully gained back either. Trust me when I say tonight that I understand that every day I have to prove my trustworthiness. And you may not see that, young people, tonight as that big of a deal, but let me tell you, that is a huge deal. They don't see all of this. Instead, they listen to what they might think to be cool stories of the adventures this person had while they were out in sin. And they're enamored by the wickedness of the maybe possibility of the stories of the fighting and the carrying on that this person might have experienced while out in the world. But what they don't see is the end results and consequences that will without doubt take place if they go down this path. It all seems to be glamorous and fun, and they're able to sow their wild oats, if you will, and be okay. But what they don't see is the permanent scars of sin. Some of you adults can stand and testify to this tonight. You see, this lifestyle can be forgiven. And praise God, in my life it has been. And many of you, God's forgiven you for that. But what teenagers and children, what you need to understand tonight is, a lot of things in our life, when it comes to God's blessings, all we get's the fatted calf. All we get's the robe. All we get's the ring on our finger and the new shoes. You see, we've lost our inheritance. And I don't mean our inheritance in heaven, I understand, when we're saved. But I'm talking about all the things that are lost. And I'll explain that here a little bit later. When you decide that you're going to go down this path, that you think that I'll go out and do my own thing for a while, and just like so-and-so, and just like so-and-so, and just like they all came back. But you don't see all they have to go through behind closed doors. You don't see that. You don't see that the fights that maybe possibly that person and their spouse go through over mistrust. You don't see the battles that they face every day by walking by certain places and smelling certain smells, and it brings back and triggers memories. You don't understand that. You don't get that. You see, the inheritance only belongs to the ones who stay the course. Look at me tonight. Teenagers, kids, look at me. The inheritance only belongs to the ones that stay right. That's where the blessings of God will be, in the fullest. In the fullest. Don't get me wrong, I'm blessed. I don't want you to think that I'm not. But I did not get all the blessings I could have from God in my youth, because of the foolishness that I pulled. Any of you adults can say amen to that. You see, the eldest son absolutely had the best testimony. He had never smoked or drank or lived his life in riotous living. He had never been involved with addictions. He had always stayed and doing what the father told him to do. And no, he didn't know what the riotous living of the younger son experienced. But can I tell you tonight, one thing else he don't know is what the pig slop tastes like. He don't know what the pig slop tastes like. And you think you want things in your life. Young people, listen to me tonight, please. I'm begging you. You think that you want this fabulous, glamorous, famous lifestyle that we see all going on around us. You think you want that. And so you start to prepare in little ways, thinking that these things are going to make you this type of person that you want to be. I can go this way, I'll be okay. That's not the best testimony. No, he didn't get to go out and have the so-called worldly fun that the younger son did. But also, he did not know what the pig slop tasted like. I grieve very much when I hear things like, I just don't want to, Brother Russell. Or when I sit with my parents, I have freedom. I can do what I want or even color if I want to. Or I don't want to be a part of that. I got better things going on outside of church. And don't get me wrong. Please understand my heart tonight that I only want the best. It grieves me to hear parents say, I just want them to be happy. And listen, please understand me tonight. I want them to be happy too. But when happy conflicts with spiritual, and happy is wrong. Hear me tonight. If happy to them conflicts with spiritual and right, it's wrong. I'll just let them make the decision when it comes to spiritual things. Let me remind you tonight, parents, that the Bible does say that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And that these type of mature spiritual decisions that must be made in their life as young people sometimes cannot be entrusted to them. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What's that saying? When we're all children, we're prone to foolishness. That's our nature. If I've got a choice to go do something that I think is fun or go do something I don't think is fun, guess what I'm going to choose as a child? Let me tell you tonight, my parents allowed me to make my own decisions until I made a wrong one, then they made the right one for me. And you don't love your child any less by making them make the right decision. You have that authority, parents. You have the ability to make them make the right decision. I'm very weary and very concerned about the young people of this generation. You don't want to make them do spiritual things. You want them to want to do spiritual things. But when the influences and the parts of this world around them does not influence them that way, right or wrong, you have to help them make right decisions. And maybe you've determined that you don't want to make them do spiritual things because you're afraid of turning them away from spiritual things in their life, in the future. My question to you is, do you feel this way about their education? How many times have you heard them say, I don't want to go to school? But you make them go. Their personal hygiene. I got some testimonies for that. All right? Listen, we're not going to let them, I don't feel like taking a bath today. No, you're going to go take a bath. or even when it comes to obedience around your home, you expect that of them, and you're going to make those decisions for them at home. And when it comes to you personally as a mother or father, you say, they're going to do what I tell them to do. But here it is at the church, and the pastors encourage them to do right things, and the youth pastors encourage them to do right things. And all of a sudden you throw your hands up and, oh, that's up to them. Can I tell you, that's wrong. Because you know what the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. They're a child till they leave your home. Listen, I came back to the right because of the way my parents brought me up. My parents taught me the Word of God. And even though when I was away from God, I knew that what was in this book, because of the way my parents had trained me, was right. It's quiet tonight. I know I'm plowing, and I don't. That's why my heart is heavy tonight, because I don't know where to go. You would not allow them to, at least I hope you would not allow your child to look you square in the face and tell you no. And listen, if I seen them do that to you, I'd have something to say. You know why? Because I got your back. That's my job. Sometimes I wonder who has mine when it comes to making spiritual decisions for your children. This is not the message tonight, but maybe as a parent you feel you're tired of the fight. You're tired of having to always push them to do right. Can I share some encouragement with you? Please understand this, that you can fight them now to do right, or later on you'll beat yourself up because you didn't. There's no other way about that. The Bible teaches the law. You will reap what you sow. And when you allow your children to overrun you or tell you what they're going to do, you're going to reap that later. And you're going to reap it more. And especially when it comes to these matters of spiritual things, like going to church or being at soul winning or going to youth activities or any of those things included. I'm going to give you a quick and easy way out of this. If they've got something going on in this world versus something going on at church, the choice ought to always be church. I'm not making many friends by saying that, but I'm going to tell you it's right. And it's biblical. And your family ought to be based around the church. Teens, children, some of you are allowed to make your own decision when it comes to spiritual matters. You need to understand tonight that the Bible says, again, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Therefore, if you can make those decisions on your own, and if you're allowed that sort of freedom, then you need to rely on the safety of godly counselors around you. You don't need to trust yourself, young people. Listen to me. Understand that tonight. You don't know what's best for you right now. You do not. As much as you want to say you do, you don't know what's best for you right now. And that totally goes against what this world's philosophy teaches. I want them to be their own person. Puke. Puke. If I were to ask you parents, you want your child to grow up to be a godly young lady or a godly young man, every one of you would say yes without fail, but you don't want to do what it takes to have that effect later on. Please understand that this elder brother felt left out. He felt that because he didn't receive the fatted calf or the new shoes or the new robe or the ring, that it was a possibility for him to run from what he knew was right and have all the fun that this world had to offer. But don't forget that the elder son never, at this point in his life, never had want for anything. And he never, ever had to eat pig slop.
You know why? Because he listened to the Father. He stayed with the Father. He did what the Father said. He stayed doing the right things. And he never had to experience the pig slop. Please understand that if you want to do all the worldly so-called fun, that there is only one consequence that you will face without question, teenagers. Pig slop. Without question, without a doubt, without there's not exceptions to that rule. Understand this tonight. Get it through your head that you will reap what you sow right now. But if you live your life pleasing to your heavenly Father, you also will receive all that's in store for you, a goodly heritage. So with that being said tonight, I want to preach a message entitled this, Forget the Fatted Calf. Forget the Fatted Calf. Tonight I want to give you some things that happen when you don't forget the fatted calf. Let's look in verse 28. The Bible says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know what the father was doing here? He's giving him a chance to get right. When you don't forget the fatted calf, number one, the flesh takes over. When the flesh takes over, it's never a good thing. You see, this elder son got angry. And he wouldn't even go in to say hi or meet his brother. When you don't understand, or what you don't understand to stay pure and to stay right with the Lord, and you begin to think that everyone out there is getting to have all the fun, what happens is you begin to hate the things of God because it contradicts what your view of fun is. It's all over your faith. You come to church, you look like you're miserable, look like somebody made you be there, and maybe they did, and if they did, good. You find no enjoyment in anything of God. You endure the preaching. You're bored with the singing. You don't want to give testimonies. You shy away from witnessing because your flesh is taking over. And when you get the opportunity to make the choice not to do something spiritual, you're all over that. You're all over that. I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't worth it. All of a sudden, everything you once enjoyed, singing and preaching and soul winning and being a witness and the youth activities, all become a bore and a drag. You become bitter because you're not getting to do what you want to do. There was a time when you couldn't wait to do these things, but all of a sudden now you loathe them. And it shows all over your face. You are miserable. By the way, parents, there was a time that you would also say that that was right for them to do as well. There was a time before they became a teenager where you would say amen to everything I'm saying right now. The message hasn't changed. What has? Before they become a teenager, you would say amen to everything. But somehow magically it doesn't make them happy anymore. So you go after the ones in their life that make them and encourage them to do right. It's tough stuff tonight. Believe me, I'm very uncomfortable preaching this. But I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was right. First of all, the flesh takes over when you don't forget about that fatted calf. What does the fatted calf and all that represent? It represents immediate gratification. It does to the elder son. The elder, notice what he said. Hey, you never threw me a dinner in my honor, and I've been staying with you this whole time. That elder son, he said, what about me? You know what happens, number two? You're overtaken with pride. Look in verse 29. And he said, and he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time at thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might take Mary with my friends. Notice how he repeated this, these personal pronouns. I, me, my. He was overtaken with pride. And unfortunately, what happens with teens that become miserable with the right things, with the spiritual things, they become overtaken with pride. They think they're better than that. They don't have to participate in that. I'm past that in my life. Remember, parents, remember, foolishness bound in the heart of a child. When are you ever too old to be a witness for God? When are you ever too old to be right with God? When is that? Anytime they start to back up from spiritual things, you'll notice, you'll see it. It all becomes about me. I, me, mine. That's it. It's all about this. It's all about me. And this eldest son, he had everything. And you teenagers, you got parents that love you and provide for your needs and make sure you have meals, and they make sure you go to school, and they take care of your health needs. You've got everything around you right now, yet you want out so bad you can't stand it. You think somehow out there I'm going to be happy. Can I tell you what's out there? Two words. Pig slop. That's all that's out there. Pig slop. Parents, we need to wake up to the fact that maybe our kid is not as good as we think they are. And we need to direct them in right paths. I told you, I love your teens. And there's not one of these teenagers, and they all would, I believe, they, unless they're trying to mess with me, I think they always stand up and say, Brother Russell loves me. All of them, I've helped with homework, and I've been there for them, and go to their sporting events. Tonight I'm not doing this out of anger. I see a problem. I see a real need for the parents to wake up tonight. I love these kids, and I don't want to see their lives go down the drain. I know what's the end of that road. Please understand. They don't see that right now. They've got everything going 100 miles to no way, and they're involved with their sports and the texting and the media and all this stuff. And listen, those things in and of themselves, it's not bad. It's not wrong. But when their wishes and their desires conflict with what God wants and spiritual things and the things that you as parents, I'm telling you, you'd be very quick to tell me they ought to be there. They ought to be doing these things. They ought to be involved with this. They ought to be sitting down front with the youth department. They ought to be doing all that. You'd be the first one to tell me that. And tonight I'm asking you, what do I do? What do I do? All I'm doing is trying to help them. So not only, first of all, when you forget about the fatted calf, amen, that's like one time I preached about Jonah and the welly of the bell, all right? When you forget about that, when you start to dwell and linger on that immediate gratification. I want what I want now. First of all, the flesh takes over. Second of all, you're overcome with pride. Number three, the last thing tonight, you forget what God's done for you. Look at verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Soon we start to think that this spiritual business is a hoax because it does not meet the need of reward for me in my life right now. We don't see that living this life of spiritual freedom, living this life right, will yield some very long-lasting rewards. If you would, your inheritance, teenagers. That you could marry right. That you could stand at the wedding altar pure. That you could say without any shame, I've never touched a drop of alcohol. You don't know what it's like to wake up hungover. You don't know what it's like to be addicted to any variety of substances. The life of following the Father will bring peace and reward and the only true joy that you can obtain in this life. I told him this morning, listen, I love watching the Sooners play football. I do. That is one of my fleshly desires. I like to watch football. But let me tell you something. If football comes on while church is going on, or youth activity is going on, or soul winning or visitation is going on, that football can hang it for all I care. Because those things, the Bible has a word for them. What's the word I used this morning? Somebody tell me. One of you teenagers, speak up. Temporal. What's temporal mean? Elias, what's it mean? See if he's paying attention to Sunday school. We're going to call him down. What's it mean, temporal? Temporary, that's right. Temporary. And what they don't understand, where you parents have to step in, is these things that they get caught up in, temporary. My son, he wants to be a professional athlete. Let me help you out with something. 1 in 10,000 people make it pro sports. 10,000. I'm not saying they couldn't. I'm just saying that what if that falls through, then what? Then what? When they could live a life as a young person, developing a relationship with God and this Bible, and maybe not all the time liking it, but you parents getting them, motivating them and encouraging them to be at the youth activities, to stay in the Word of God, to read their Bible, to pray every day. That's what's going to help them get through their life. That's what's going to get them through the hard times. That's what's going to get them blessings and the inheritance that God has for them, not the silliness and the carnalities of this world. They don't see that right now. Why? They haven't grown up yet. That's what we're supposed to do, is convey that to them. And when they don't want to do it, make them do it. That's right. That's right, good parenting, good leadership. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm tired of seeing teenagers who run their household, who run mom and dad like they've got some kind of remote control. I've seen it more than I care to see. And listen, I'm not against them having fun, having a good time. Please understand, I don't expect them to walk around everywhere with their face in the Bible like this, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But what I do want to get across to them, and what I do want to get across to you as their parents, is that I want to be the best godly influence. I want everything that I do to point them straight to Jesus, point them straight to what's right, so that when they grow up and when they get on with their adult lives, they can marry right and live right and have the full blessings of God. But you'll fight me on that. Sure, the prodigal son got the fatted calf, but he had to deal with the pig slop to get it. And you know what? After that night of partying and all that was over, guess what? Next day happened. He went to work out in the father's fields. And guess who his boss was? The elder son. Believe me, folks, let me say this, and if I can without offending anybody. Some of you know you had potential as young people, maybe to go to college or get a degree in something, and you didn't do that, and you've had to settle with things, and you're not making as much money in your life as you could have, and you've got these problems in your life, and you see all what I'm talking about tonight. Hey, can I say with two hands up that I am there? Why can't we see that we have to protect them from that? Yeah, there's going to come a day that they have to make a choice. But that day is not today. That day is not right now. If they start making good choices, then good. But if when the day comes and they make a bad choice, and they will, they're teenagers, they're children, they're going to mess up, they're going to make mistakes, they're going to do dumb stuff. Then you say, no, you're not doing that. Or yes, you are going. Happy or not, they're going to do right. And parents, you're not doing them any favors. You're not doing, listen to me tonight. You're not doing them any favors by letting them stay home from activities, by letting them stay home from teen soul winning, by letting them stay home from things here at the church that you may not say, well, it's not like church. No, you're not doing them no favors. Matter of fact, you're helping build their case against me. And not just me. Against the Lord. I say all the time, I'm learning to be a youth pastor. I'm going to say dumb stuff. I'm going to do dumb things. Got a lot of learning to do. Believe me, no one knows that more than me. Can I tell you tonight? And when you think about this, fatted calf doesn't seem that appealing anymore, does it? The new shoes don't really feel like they're all that good. The ring on my finger doesn't seem to have that glamour like it used to when you see the truth of what the elder son really had. I wish from time to time that I could go back to my teen years. I wish that I would have listened to the dear people that loved me enough to tell me the truth, even when I did not like it. I wish that my life was much like this elder son, and I could say that I didn't know what the pig slop tasted like. But I can't say that. Some of you can't say that. Look at me tonight. Look at me. They can. They still can. When you allow them to make the mature spiritual decisions that you ought to be making for them at this point in their life, of course they're going to choose foolish things. They're teenagers. And they're, listen, when they make good decisions, you praise them for it. I try to do that. Man, if they come out soul winning, man, I tell them, thank, man, that's great. Come, I mean, I love it when they come out. When they accomplish something, man, I'm the first one to brag on them. Man, when they do well at these youth rallies and quizzes and all that stuff, man, I'm the first one. man, our church is the best, and I feel that way. I really do. I don't care what these other churches, they can have all they have. I like here. I love here. These are my teenagers, amen? I love them. The same ought to be true that if they mess up, I got to say something. If they go the wrong way, I got to say something. And just as if I heard you tell them that they need to be doing something, I'm going to stand behind you parents and I'm going to say, hey, your mom and dad is right. You need to be doing what your mom and dad tell you to do. You need to do it without question. You need to do it the first time you're told. I'll be behind you, cheering you on. But when it comes to spiritual matters, can I be honest with you tonight? I don't feel like I always have that support from you parents. I may be wrong. I don't always see what goes on behind closed doors. I understand that. Parents, I want you to know again that I love your children too much to allow them, while they're in my care or while they're under my authority, or I feel the responsibility because I love them so much when I see them going the wrong way, to say something. I love them too much not to encourage them to make right decisions. I love them too much that when I see them make mistakes, not to get onto them. I love them too much when I see that they're going down a wrong road, not to at least try to steer them back, even if they get mad at me. You can ask all of them. All of them have been mad at me at one point or the other. I'm okay with that. Not that I intentionally try to make them mad, but I'm trying to help them do right. Parents, you need to stop being scared of your teenagers. My youth pastor, he's the pastor now at Open Door Baptist Church. I went and talked with him. I had no clue how to be a youth pastor. So I go to the person I know the best youth pastor in my opinion in the world, Brother Ross. And he said the problem, Brother Russell, with our teenagers today is the kids have got the parents hostage. Did you hear what I said? The kids have the parents hostage. And you're so scared to make them mad at you that you'll just back off. Oh, they don't want to do that, Brother Russell. You'll be quick to go to the authority on their behalf. Say, hey, they don't want to do it, they don't have to. And every time I hear that, I just scratch my head. And I think, who's running the show? Who's running the show? If I've upset you tonight, I'm very sorry that I upset you. But I just love our kids and teenagers too much to lay down and not do nothing. Just to lie down and stop fighting. It's not in my nature to be a quitter. It's not in God's nature to quit on them either. I'm not perfect. If you hang around me within 5 minutes, you'll understand that. You'll see that. But I do the very best I can to walk with God and have a relationship with God. And my walk with God has gotten so much closer. You know why? I'm in the battle for them. I'm in the battle for your kids. I know I'm in the battle for the Lord. Understand that. I know. I get it. But I'm gonna stand toe-to-toe with the devil every time for them. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen, tonight when we get to the state of our youth, our young people, your young people, Are you leading them in the right path? Sometimes that's not easy. I get that. Sometimes I feel like it'd be easier for me just to walk out instead of deal with that problem. And to be honest, I've done that before. But it's not 2 minutes after I walk out, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart. You were once a teenager too. And the people didn't give up on you. Teenagers, look at me. I want all of you to look at me. I'll never give up on you. Never. I'm going to be in your ear till you graduate. Because I love you too much to see you go down a wrong path. You don't want the pig slop teams. Kids, look at me. All you kids, look at me. Kids, look at me. You don't want the pig slop out there. You don't want it. You think it looks so inviting. It looks like something you may want. But you don't want it. It don't taste good. And all it's ever going to do is bring you heartache and misery and trouble in your life. That's all it's going to do. Time tonight. I guess in a way I am, parents, trying to help you raise those teens right. And I know the biggest thing I hear a lot of times is I've never raised kids, and I get that. But I do know what this book says. I do know what it says. Not bragging on Brother Russell, but I study this book. I know what God teaches. And I treat these teens as if they were my own. I love them like they were my own. I've told every person, listen, I feel like I'm beating this to death tonight, but I want you to understand that they know, and hopefully you parents know, that you could call me day or night, and I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to be there to help you. No matter what time it is, I'll leave my job to come help them. And I praise the Lord, I have that kind of a job where my boss understands what I do. But these kids, teens, this is all more valuable than anything I could ever do or make or the money I can make. I take it very, very seriously that you trust me with your teens. I take it very, very seriously that God called me to be the youth pastor here at this church. I take it very, very seriously. Again, I'm not the best youth pastor there is. I'm learning. I'm trying to grow. And those of you who deal with me, thanks for dealing with me. But tonight, the message I preached was out of a heart of love for them and for you. I want to show you that you're still in charge of their life right now. And when they don't want to make the right decisions, you have to make those right decisions for them, whether they're mad at you or not. I'm going to tell you something. It's just a rule my dad had. He didn't care what was going down on at church. We were there. Listen, I was a Golden Gloves boxer in high school. 3 different times I made it to Golden Gloves Nationals. Brother David, 3 different times I had to forfeit a championship match. You know why? We were having church. And you don't think that made me mad after all the work and the fights that I've been in and the rings and the whole, I don't know if any of you have ever boxed, but there is a lot of training involved. There's a lot of discipline involved. There's weigh-ins. There's times you can't eat for 24 hours, so you'll make a weigh-in. Listen, if you know me, I like to eat. That's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. I do like to eat. But listen to me. Understand this. When I tell your kids that you need to be at this youth activity over whatever, I know what I'm talking about. You can call my parents. You can call my youth pastor. And you can call my former pastor, Dr. Jim Vineyard. And they all tell you, I never, ever miss one youth activity or youth event. Ever. Now, some of those, I had to fight my parents. Well, more like they fought me because I didn't win nothing. So when I stand in front of your young people and I tell them they need to be at the activities or they need to be out team soul winning or they need to be involved with whatever the teams are doing, I understand them having to say, hey, we got something going on at the church. And as much as they don't want to be there at the church at that time because of this activity, the right thing is that they go to do the spiritual thing. Whatever it is. I just shared my heart with you tonight. I love them too much. If that makes you mad that I love them that much, that I want what's right for them, I don't apologize for that, except for I'm sorry you feel that way. We need to get squared up on some of this stuff tonight. Teens, you guys need to determine you're not gonna ever know what the pig slop tastes like. Kids, you need to determine. I'm not ever gonna know what the pig slop tasted like. Everybody would stand, bow your head, close your eyes. I know I was a little long tonight, and I'm sorry for that. But I did what God told me to do. Altar's open. It's up to you what parents are. I don't know. I just let the Holy Spirit lead. God dealt with your heart about something. Then you take care of business with God how you see fit. Brother Chad sings.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod.
Parents, it is worth it to stay by stuff.
Lord, I'm coming.
Coming, when you see their lives blessed of God and they've never had to experience the filth that's out here.